Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody. It seems strange after a week for us to go that long without seeing one another, but the Lord is faithful. And I'm going to step out in faith and weakness this morning, but I know the Lord is able to help us and encourage us. I've been encouraged this morning. Think the words that we've sung and the songs that we've sung have just all been all about hope and the future and the fact that the Lord's in control. Of course, here we are, about to launch another year, and we live, as we well know, in an uncertain world. I'm glad the Lord has given us so many certainties, but praise God, you know, we've just come through a very contentious election, and some people are happy and some people are sad, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. We live in an uncertain world as far as worldly events are concerned. I guess that I've had so many thoughts that they're just going to go, they've gone all over the place, and I'm just praying the Lord will guide my thoughts so that they make some sense and they come together. But we know that in a changing world, well, what, first of all, I guess, what now would be a good title? What now? Here we are at a crossroads, in a sense, in our own society. We see how, one section of our population is angry and wants to pull us in this direction. Another one wants to pull us in this one. And, you know, where are we headed? What's going on? I am so thankful that in the midst of all of this, that we have the Lord. But what are we told to expect in this world? Yeah, tribulation. We're told to expect trouble. I mean, in the last days, terrible times will come, Paul told Timothy. Evil men will wax worse and or grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do we not see that? So I'll tell you one thing that as we launch into another year that I am not expecting or not pinning my hopes on at the very least is that things will get better. We know the course of this world. And you know, as we spoke recently on kingdom thinking, I believe with all my heart God's people need as never before to be tuned in to what God is saying and what His purpose is. This world has a purpose. Now I realize that there is a dark power that rules over the majority of mankind and rules over a kingdom that is attached to this world. And most people are blinded and imprisoned within that kingdom. And we know where that's headed. But yet God has allowed it to be this way. He has a purpose to gather out a people. These are things we've said many times, but it seems like it's a good time to refresh our memory about a lot of this. God has absolutely designed this present world as a place to gather a family, to gather a kingdom, to build a kingdom, to gather people who are literally born of His life. Isn't that amazing? To actually have God's life instead of Adam's, ultimately, that's where this is all headed. And I don't care what purpose Satan has or conceives in his own heart and mind, God's purpose will prevail. Thank God. And I want to be a part of that. And I don't want to be so invested in any circumstance in this world that I forget the reality that no matter what happens in this world, He's on the throne. He reigns, His purpose is unfolding, and it is as certain as, it's the only thing that is certain. Because I don't know. I pray that if we need to know something, that the Lord will let us know. In the meantime, what we do know is what we heard last Sunday. Basically, to stay tuned, to abide in Him, to keep our relationship with Him fresh, so that He is always able to speak to us and keep us focused and able to see the world through His eyes and His purpose that absolutely is in our lives. I'll tell you, if you're His child, He's got a tremendous purpose for you this coming year. There are things that have never happened in your life and mine that He's going to absolutely engineer. Man, I want to be a part of that. I want to be aware of that. I want to be asking Him. I want to be saying, thank You, Lord, in spite of the way it has to happen sometimes. But you know, we see in a broad sense the purpose. And Lord, guide my thoughts so I don't go off in too many rabbit trails here. But we have seen a pattern throughout history of how God does what he's doing. He allows populations in different times in history to come forth, and then he works with those hearts. He reaches out in every kind of way that he can reach out. And what we see is the majority of human beings hardening their hearts, resisting it, and resisting it to the point that they have no more capacity to hear. We see it in Noah's day. And we see how the time came, as we said, this, we said these things many times, that the time came when men's hearts had only evil continually. God says, I will not always strive with man. You want to know what this world is about? That was a pretty good picture. There was a period of time that God had absolutely set on his calendar. The world did not know that there was a clock ticking. But Noah did. And he walked with the Lord, and his heart was still open, and God could actually speak to him. And so while we see the broad mass of humanity headed towards destruction, we see God being faithful to his people and making a perfect provision for them to come through all of that experience and wind up on the other side in a good place. God is faithful. Didn't the Lord say it's going to be like that in the future, that was a picture of where we're headed? We see that pattern over and over again. We see it in a small scale in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that society had reached such a place of corruption that they were willing to molest angels. That was all they cared about. Two men have come. Hey, let's go. Let's get at them. They were beyond hope, beyond reach. I'll tell you, that's the scary part of not hearing God's voice. Because mankind reaches a point where he can't hear it anymore. But here was a man whose life really didn't count for a lot, but he believed in God, and he didn't go along with what they were doing. God sent angels in there to get him out. Praise God! Is God going to be faithful to his people, to everyone who opens their heart and believes in and trusts in him and sets their heart in his direction? We see mankind diverging on two different paths. But that same pattern happened in the nation of Israel. We see a history in which most of the people of Israel were unbelievers at heart. I don't care what, I mean, there were times of blessing, times when they did all kinds of stuff outwardly, but their hearts were hard, their hearts were blind to God's voice. But yet God always kept a remnant, didn't he? You remember how bad things got in Elijah's day when he said, I'm the only one, kill me, Lord. Wouldn't that be something to come to that place where if you're looking around at circumstances, that's how it feels? Do you suppose it might get that way at some point? We need to be so ready that we can hear God's voice and remember that just as he said to Elijah, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. This was in the northern kingdom where nobody hardly ever served. No king ever served the Lord there. After the nation split, it was a bad place to be. Judgment was coming upon that nation, but God had preserved a faithful remnant. And we see that coming forward in Jesus' time. The clock was ticking. If it had ever ticked, it was ticking. Because Jesus came with a message. He was the one the prophets had told about. He was the one Moses had predicted. There he was, the Savior, the fulfillment of every purpose for which Israel had ever been established. And his voice was reaching out. What an astounding thing it is that he could talk about Capernaum, where he began his miracles, and actually say, Capernaum, you should have listened. God was coming to you in love and mercy. It's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll tell you, people are responsible for the light they have, aren't they? Praise God. But God did raise up a people. There was a time allotted for Israel's history, and in that end time, I mean, there was a clock ticking. As I say, in every age, there's always been that time when God knows when the end is coming. His people don't always know exactly, but they're called upon to walk through that time and to be ready. And the disciples were warned about all the terrible things that were going to happen and the judgment that was going to fall. One thing you don't find out exactly in the pages of Scripture, it comes from other history, is that when the time came for the Roman armies to surround Jerusalem and that terrible, awful judgment to happen, the Christians weren't there. Do you know why? God had miraculously spoken to them and said, hey, it's time to leave. Do you suppose that God's going to make provision for His people all the way down to the end? I do. Thank God. But you know, God's people had to live through that. They had to be willing to serve God even when things really went badly sideways, when they started being persecuted, when some of them began to be killed. Here was God setting something in motion and absolutely bringing them down to the end and said, I'm reaching out to my people, but you've got the people of Israel going on two different paths. Praise God. I'll tell you what, remember what Peter said. I mean, we remember the message of Peter and how he spoke and gave them, and they said, what are we supposed to do? And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't stop there, did he? He went on and said many other things. But one of the things he said was to save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Now, isn't that interesting? When you think about our prospects of life in this world, Peter did not say, believe in Jesus and we can turn this thing around. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't offer any other alternative, any other hope for the result of God's judgment clock, but you listen to the message and God will rescue you out of this. You can go, you can be on a different path. The nation is absolutely set on a course and nothing is going to change that. But God has a message of love and mercy that can change your destiny. Thank God. I'll tell you, we need to realize that destiny is sealed. And something was started. When Christ came into the world, there was something started. And we are living in a present age. This is a time period when God has determined to accomplish a certain purpose. It's being worked out and nothing can stop it. Thank God. But there was something that happened. There was an era. There was a time frame that started, as it were, a clock. When Jesus went to the cross, when He rose from the dead, when He ascended to a throne, something happened. And Peter talked about the last days. How many of you know the last days started then? There was a certain period of time when, all right, we are in the last time. We are in the countdown. All these other things were time periods when things happened, but we are in the end days of the world starting now. And so all the way down through history, the gospel has been going out and God has been gathering the people. How many of you remember the parable of the Great Supper? When Jesus described a man who was going to give a great banquet, a great feast, and he made the preparation, he made the feast, and he said to those who had been invited, come, everything is ready. Who was he talking to? Who was that? Who were the ones who had been invited? Do you see the picture of the Israelite nation? God had already, through all the prophets, had said, there's something coming. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready when it comes. And so when the time came, everything was ready. God made an awesome provision. Isn't that a message in itself? Everything is ready. Come. What happened? Most of them said, I got something better to do. I've married a wife, I can't come. I bought a field, and so on. They all had something, some excuse, and so they didn't come. What a picture that was of Israel. So what did they do? Said, all right, go out into the lanes of the city and so forth, go out for a period of time. There was a long period of time when they went out and they gathered people in for the feast. And what happened? There was another time that came where they said, we've called all these people, but still there's room. So he said, now you go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Do you see the three periods of time? Do you see the time when God was giving the invitation to Israel and saying, you've been invited, come, now's the time. And most of them said no. Thank God for those who said yes. But there was a long period of time when the message was going out, because God had from the beginning, through the prophets, said, I'm raising up my people, but through you the word message is going to go to the ends of the world. Well, that began to happen, didn't it? Thank God. And over the ages, God was gathering a people, but there comes another time period. And that time period was toward the end, when yet there's still room. And he said, go out and compel them to come in. The very sense that compel them to come in, doesn't that convey to you that, hey, time's short? We need to finish this thing. We need to wrap it up. How many of you believe we're in that time? That's something I believe the Lord has revealed to us in a very particular way. Do you remember years ago? I think I've mentioned this recently a number of times. How the Lord gave specific visions. And I wouldn't base anything just on a vision. It's going to have to come out of here and going to have to be witnessed by the Spirit. But there was a clock that very plainly, this is more than once this happened, there was a clock that very plainly said 11 o'clock. What does that tell you? It's the last hour. That God's clock is ticking. I want to tell you, we've been in what the Bible calls the last days, because that's what happens from the time Jesus ascended to the throne with the work accomplished until it's done. We got this period of time, and it's sort of symbolized by 12 hours. But then you come to that end time, and you come to a time period when God is absolutely finishing the job, and I believe with all my heart we're in that time period where Satan is being allowed to try to finish do whatever he's going to do. God is turning people loose who say no, but I thank God he isn't done with his people. This is the time when he's going to finish the job that Christ started. Thank God. Let's say there's so many ways, so many things that we have heard over the years that my mind went to, and I said, Lord God, help me, you know, steer me through this. There's so many truths. One thing that struck me, because you look at the time period when God was dealing with Israel, okay? The natural nation of Israel. It came to that climax of Christ coming, and then it was about 40 years later, and judgment fell. They were in their end of the age, right? That was their time when, okay, now we are in the countdown to judgment. It's another way to look at it. And so part of Jesus' message to his disciples is not just hang on till I get there. It was, lift up your eyes to the harvest. It wasn't just a time to sort of hunker down and hide in a cave and wait till it was all over. God says, I'm not just sitting here watching and doing nothing. I got a purpose that's being fulfilled. How many of you believe that in the midst of all the confusion of this world, all the craziness, the wars, the questions about economics and governments rising and falling, and elections going this way and that way, and what's going to happen next, and what are my prospects? All of that is irrelevant to God's purpose, because no matter how it plays out, God is going to do his thing, right? And so the Lord was wanting to not just call their attention to the unbelief and the condition of the world and saying, oh, this is terrible. It was, hey, don't worry, I've got a purpose in the middle of this. I'm calling a people. And not only that, there is a harvest that's ready. So what were they to do? Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. How many of you believe that in this last hour, God has a harvest that he is gathering in the earth? We have seen so much evidence of that over the years. And I see it more and more. And I pray that God will have us so tuned into Him that we'll be able to flow with Him. We'll be able to cooperate with Him and to support those who are sending out the Word and send it out ourselves. And realize we're not called to hunker down. We're not called to be sort of buried in our daily activities and think this is all there is. And our hope is in that that'll all work out. But Lord, help our eyes to be on You. Help our hearts to be in tune with what You're doing and praying. Praying. Do you think that makes it? Did that make a difference? Did Jesus say that just to go through a form and, oh, you're supposed to pray? No. There was a difference when God's people call upon His name and ask Him to reach into the darkest corners of this world. Do you know there are tribes yet that are unreached, that have never heard? And Jesus said to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to every creature. I believe God is doing something in this hour that I just pray that in the midst of it, we will not become so bogged down in our own little narrow little lives that we'll be able to pray for our fellow believers in persecution. I'll tell you, when that comes here, I want them praying for me. I don't know what's going to happen, but do you think God wants us to be afraid? Or do you think He wants us to be so tuned into Him and saying, Lord, I know that You're on the throne. I know that Your purpose is being carried out. Thank God. I'll tell you, when Jesus ascended to the throne, we're told that He will reign there. How long? Until all enemies are under His feet. You want to look that up? Look that up. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. He was the first one, the example of what God's plan is. He was raised from the dead with a body that's not like this one. Thank God. I'm ready for Him to do away with this one and you know, wait for the one that's going to last forever. But anyway, He was the first one, called the first fruits. But He ascended to a throne, and God has put everything in His hands. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Whatever happens on earth, He knows about it. He knows how to use it for His purposes. He knows how to use difficulty to speak to those who have a capacity to hear His voice. He knows how to put you and me in places where we're going to have to trust Him and let go. All the things that we have talked about so many times. God is going to be faithful. Jesus is reigning right now over everything that is happening in this world. As we look forward into this new year, I don't know what's going to happen, but I want my life to be completely in His hands. I want to rest in Him and trust in Him and know that He is absolutely conquering every enemy that could possibly withstand His purpose. There's not a thing that the enemy can do that will hinder what the Lord has absolutely set in motion. To God be the glory. Praise God. You know, there's nothing new that I'm saying here, but I just pray that God will make some of this real. That we won't just be a regurgitation of doctrines that we believe, but that God will actually speak. Is there anybody here that needs to have your eyes lifted up? Yeah. Every single one of us. It's so easy for us to go to sleep and not be aware, not be awake. And just let the devil slip up on us. You ever had the devil slip up on you? Yeah, if you're a believer, you have. You think God wants to teach us through all of these things? Do you really believe that in all things, God is working for the bad, right? No, He's working for the good. Of who? Those who love Him. Those who are the called, based on what? According to His purpose. Oh, God, deliver us from living according to our purpose. Your purpose in this world is not going to come to anything. This world absolutely will pass away. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away, but My word will never pass away. I want to base my life, I want to build my life on the promises of God who cannot lie. who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I who could never possibly deserve such a thing. Yet he has called me into his kingdom. And he is building a kingdom. And even when I don't understand his ways, even when I don't understand why did this happen, why is that happening, why is it like this and why is it like that, I know somebody who knows. I've got somebody who knows how many hairs I've got on my head. I got somebody who knows how many hairs are on JP's chin. And he's not the only one. God is, oh, I'll tell you, we need that sense of perspective, don't we? That our lives are in his hands. He knows every single thing. And his attitude toward us is not, what's the matter with you, but I love you and I am working in you and I have given my son the power and the authority to do everything necessary so that one day, I'll tell you, the clock will stop ticking and it will be over. Praise God. You know, scripture we read so many times. But how about turning to Ephesians chapter 1? I'm not going to read it all, but because that outlines what God has done for us, the call, the blessing, and the fact that he knew us before the world started. But look down at in the middle of verse 8. With all wisdom and understanding, I'll tell you, God's not guessing, is he? He made known to us the mystery of his will. Now, why does he call it a mystery? Because mankind, looking around at the world, trying to use his natural intelligence, can't possibly figure it out. I need to hear his voice, don't you? And I need to recognize that without hearing his voice, I'm just muddling around in the darkness like everybody else. I need him. But I'm so thankful that he's faithful, aren't you? I'll tell you what. He made known to us the mystery of what? His will. You think God has the power to carry out his plan? According to what? What is that based upon? His good pleasure. This is something that God's excited about. You think God is looking forward to that day? I do. Praise God. I know he knows what it takes to get us ready for that new creation. We don't like it a lot of the time, but he knows. And his motivation, I mean, he's sitting there just saying, I just can't wait. I know there's a process that has to happen, but I am anticipating something that is going to be so full, so wonderful. It's my pleasure that's involved here. Which he purposed in Christ. Again, you've got a purpose. You've got a reason behind everything. But what is all of that about? It says, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Now think about that. You've got times, you've got periods of time when the age or the purpose of the age is fulfilled. When it's time for the clock to say, all right, it's time, I'm done. There's going to be a time when the last tick of the clock will happen. Praise God. Lord, you can do it today if your plan is done, but I believe it's still ticking. Okay? When the times reach their fulfillment, to do what? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I'll tell you what, he has absolutely been given the job, as 1 Corinthians 15 we referred to said, to reign until all enemies under his feet. What's the last enemy, by the way? Death. When is death conquered, finally? He talks later in that passage about a trumpet. Which trumpet? It's the last trumpet, isn't it? No trumpets after that one. What's happening when that last trumpet sounds? Christ is coming. He is gathering his people to himself. Everyone who knows him, these bodies will, if you're still here, this body's going to be changed. It won't be like the one that you're suffering with now and dealing with. All the stuff that we put up with, that will be gone. A trumpet will sound. We will be changed. We will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father, as it says in other places. At the last trump, the last enemy will be destroyed. Boy, that's a fresh reminder that that's when things end. It's just like it was in history. When the time comes for God to gather His people out, there's no purpose left down here. I'll tell you what. One of the really bad things about some of the teaching, and I don't want to just get off into this, but I want to say this much. There's a lot of teaching that suggests that Christ is going to come and all of His believers are going to vanish into thin air and life will go on. And one of the evil parts of that, implications of that, is there will be a second chance. People can hang around and not accept Jesus, as they like to put it, and they won't go in the rapture, so-called. But then, don't worry, you can wait and find out, and then you can get saved. How many think there's going to be a second chance? You'll have exactly the same chance as the people in Noah's day. They're either in or they're out. I'll tell you, people are on two different roads, two different destinies. I'll tell you, we need the Lord, don't we? But I just want to issue a word of warning to anybody that's hesitating. You don't know when the last voice that speaks to you will come. What does the Scripture say? When is the day of salvation? Today is the day of salvation. I wonder how many people have had God speak to their hearts and they know it down deep. And they found a way to sidestep it and push it away and say, not now. Yes, Lord, but not now. And they reach that point where that voice stops calling. Their hearts have gotten hard. I'll tell you, we need to enter this year with a sense that God's clock is ticking. And if He is speaking to someone's heart that has never surrendered, what are you waiting for? How do you know that you'll ever hear that voice again? There's not a thing that can happen that can change God's purpose from being carried out. Everything that has been corrupted by sin will perish and perish forever. That's what's at stake. You know, a lot of times the gospel is called an invitation. It's not an invitation, it's an ultimatum. A loving one. It's a loving ultimatum. And it's repent or perish. And I know God's heart is calling in this hour. We are seeing, how many times have we referred to this? We are seeing the craziness of things that people that, how can they think that? How can they stand for that or actually believe that? And then we see these incredible crimes where people just are taken over and they do something that's unthinkable and they come to, I don't even remember that. Yeah, sure. You opened yourself up and your whole being was taken over by wicked spirits that hate you and hate everybody. And they will use you to do unspeakable things if you hand over your life to them. I want my life to belong to Him. I want Him to be the one living on the inside and changing me. Oh my God, what a destiny we have. But there's a clock ticking. I don't know when it's going to happen. God hasn't told me. Don't believe if somebody comes along and says, I know when it's going to happen. No, you don't. Jesus doesn't even know. But God is getting a people ready, and this year is going to be part of that. I don't know how many times I've said this, that, you know, a lot of people will look at the way things have happened. There's certainly one group of people who said, oh, praise God, now we've, things are right again. We're going to go forward, and things are going to be better. I hope so. But God's purpose is not to save America. I thank God for allowing me to live in such a place. I believe we need to be good citizens. I believe we need to pray for our leaders. I believe we need to be a light in this place and stand for things that honor God. But God's purpose is not to save America. We see throughout history, nations rise and fall. What if that happens here? Are we going to go on and serve the Lord, or is it going to say, oh, wait a minute. Is your happiness and your sense of purpose in life married to anything in this world, in this society, in this way of life? We're going to need a lot of grace, aren't we? But we're going to have a certainty of purpose that goes beyond any earthly value. It's not, you know, is my life comfortable? Do I have this? Do I have that? We've gotten so used to it. The danger is going to sleep spiritually. I don't want to do that. God help us. I believe He is, don't you? I believe He has a people, and I believe He's going to get us through. That's the glorious thing. We're not dependent on what happens in Washington or what happens in the United Nations or the Untied Nations or this war or that war or the economy or all those things. Our welfare is dependent entirely upon Jesus Christ, who reigns, a God who knows my name and loves me and you. A God who is working out a purpose, who has given His Son the job of performing a work. How long is He going to do that, by the way? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Because I need some work, don't you? Anybody here need some work? Well, guess what? That's what's going to happen this coming year. Get ready. Get ready to say thank you, Lord, and Lord, do your thing. Do whatever I need. I know that I need more in my life. I need you to help me. I need you to set me free. I need you, we heard it last week, I need you to search out the roots that are in here that keep springing up and keep causing me trouble. Help me, Lord. Open my eyes and help me, make me willing to do your will, because apart from your grace, I'm not. My natural inclination is just to follow my human nature and try to carve out a life for me in this world. And I tell you, we need the Lord, don't we, as never before. Thank God. I was thinking of, praise the Lord, I think I'm rambling in a sense, and yet I believe the Lord wants us to think of all of these things. In Luke chapter 21, I think it is, I'm not going to go through a lot of that, but He talks about all the terrible things that are going to happen. And not to be worried, not to be anxious, not to be fearful. Suppose things really went sideways in this country and everything came crashing down and we were struggling just to get along every day, get up in the morning and feel safe or have something to eat. Would you still serve the Lord? I heard some yeses, that's good, but I'll tell you, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Do you know that's what it's like for some people in this world? They come to my mind and my heart, I hope they do to you. Lord, help my brothers and sisters. Help me not to get so immersed in life here and how it is for me that I think this is normal. This is very abnormal. What we are experiencing is not normal history. We have been blessed in a natural sense. I'm thankful for it. I'm going to be a good citizen as long as they don't tell me to do something that God hates. I'm not going to be a rebel. But I'll tell you, my hope isn't here. I don't know what's going to happen. You still got forces that are going like this at each other, and they're going to try to fight and fight and fight to the death. Never give up. I'm glad I have one. I serve one who's on the throne. Whichever way it goes, He's going to use it to fulfill His purpose and to gather a people out of this world. I want to be tuned into that. But anyway, so suppose you see things that are rough. Jesus was talking about all the terrible things that were about to happen to the nation. In verse 28 of Luke 21, He says, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. If things really go south, or sideways, or however you want to put it, in this world and in our society, in our experience, what do? Get discouraged. Lift up. Lord, you're still on the throne. You haven't forgotten me. You're going to give me the strength to stand and to do whatever I need to do, and not to get so bogged down and so self-focused that that's all I'm thinking about. But Lord, help me to be your child in this particular circumstance. Verse 34. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. He's talking to his disciples here. How easy it is for us in one sense or another to get so caught up, and that day close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all, it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. It will come. People don't realize it. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Is that his will? Is that his purpose? Absolutely. We can pray that with confidence. God, you know I can't do this on my own. You know I don't have what it takes to stand in this hour and with the difficulties of this world. But if you allow it, if you bring me to it, as the saying goes, you'll bring me through it. And we have the what a privilege we have. I was just thinking about coming together this morning. How many brothers and sisters do we have that don't have this? It's not that we're anything, but there's a company of people here that know the Lord, that have experienced the Lord, that love Him, that know that God has called us to walk together, to love one another, to encourage one another, and so much the more as what? As you see, do you see the day approaching? Do you see things progressing? I don't know God's timetable. I don't know His schedule. But I know it's a harvest hour. I know there are going to be times when the call of God will be to endure. He that endureth to the end will be saved. That's not calling on my strength to do it. That's calling on a willingness to trust God, knowing that He who called me will bring me through. Praise God. Oh, Lord, hasten the day. Help me not to get so invested in anything in this world where I say, oh, good, now times are going to be better, because I don't know how times are going to be. My happiness is not invested in how things happen here. I'm not saying I won't have things to overcome if they aren't nice, but I'll tell you, God is going to take us through whatever happens this coming year. But here it comes down to this. God has a purpose for you and me in this coming year. He has things that He's going to accomplish where we will come to the end of the year and of this coming year, and we will not be the same person we are now. How many of you want to know the Lord better? Have more grace, more strength, less of a hold of the old nature, more faith, more Jesus? And remember last week, we need to be plugged in, don't we? We need to abide in Him, because there is a source of life that flows from God's throne to His people. His promise is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Trust in me, and I'll take you all the way to the other end. Praise God. I feel like I have, in a sense, just gone in so many directions today, but I've just had this sense that God wants us to focus on what really, this is where we need kingdom thinking, isn't it? This is where we need to see everything through God's eyes, starting with ourselves and the world around us, and never forget what this world is really about and where it's headed, and the fact that it's headed certainly to a finality in which heaven and earth will pass away. But God's people, I'll tell you, oh, what a day that was going to be. What a day that's going to be. And my Jesus, I will see. And I don't know whether I'm going to go by the upper taker or the undertaker, but either way, I have a hope. I have hope, thank God. Didn't we sing that this morning? Where do we get that from? I certainly can't look in me and say, oh yeah, look at me, I've got hope, because look at how I'm. It's all Jesus. It's all because of the cross. It's because he removed the barrier that separated a sinner like me from a holy God. And he came to me and gave me the grace and the strength to respond to his voice and to let him have my life, and it belongs to him. I wish I let him work in it better than I do. We still got all that old self that wants to strive, don't we? But always, the prayer needs to be, Lord, don't give in to me. Lord, don't stop working. Lord, don't just, I'm trusting in you to overcome everything that needs to be overcome in here. And I know you're faithful. I know your promise is right and it's true, and we're going to stand before your throne one day. Oh, and we've said this before, if there are any crowns to be handed out, Lord, that crown goes to you. Thank you. You did it. You did it. And to you, to your name alone be the glory. Praise God. I'll tell you, Jesus is on the throne, and that clock will wind down to zero and the trumpet will sound. Is that where your life is focused? Needs to be. It needs to be focused on where we actually are in history and where we're headed. And in the meantime, God is reaching out. Let's pray. Let's ask God. Let's ask him for our place in all of that. Because God is gathering a people in the midst of all of this. It's not going to be the multitudes. It's not going to be the mass of humanity. But God has a people that he is still reaching. And if there's one soul that can still hear his voice and respond, he's going to be speaking, isn't he? See, that's what happened in Noah's day. That it got to the point where there wasn't anybody else. And it's going to get that way. But I'll tell you, until that day, I just want the Lord to reign here in our midst. I don't want to just preach a tradition. I don't want to have anything except Jesus. You need to be resident here in this people. You need to be talking to us. You need to be helping us. Oh, God. So what now? Well, we enter another year and we look to the Lord and say, Lord, my life is in your hands and I am trusting you come what may. And if it's bad from the natural standpoint, I'm trusting you to give me grace and take me through and do what in me, what needs to be done that I'm not even aware of, but you are. And you love me enough to do whatever it takes to get me ready for that day. Praise God. And let's come through to the other end. Let's come through every test and get to the other end of this year, and then we'll have a testimony. See, they go together, don't they? You don't ever have a testimony until you've been through a test. We got God, we've got a Savior that can take us through every bit of it that comes. I'll tell you, to him be the glory and the honor from now and forevermore. That day is going to come when the last enemy is put down, the kingdom is finished. What is he going to do? He's going to hand it over to the Father. And we're all going to be subject to him in a brand new world. And we aren't going to mess it up. Because this old us is going to be gone and gone forever. I can't wait. Thank God. Thank God. No more fear, no more evil desires, no more anger, no more. All the things that are beset this world are going to be gone. Anybody ready for that to happen in your heart? Do you want to be free from that? I know somebody who can make you free. And if you're one, again, that needs to hear his voice, I just pray that you'll do it while there's time. Because the door is going to be shut one of these days. And I don't know God's schedule. Imagine there were people in Noah's day that maybe at some point they could actually hear God's voice and they just sort of pushed it aside and said, well, yeah, maybe later. And there came a time when God said, it's done. Thank God. Thank God for his faithfulness. Well, anyway, Jesus is on the throne. This year is in his hands. Our life is in his hands. That's a good, safe place to be. We can go forward and be thankful and hopeful and lift up our hands and learn to thank God for whatever comes and know that it's going to be okay. To him be the glory. Praise God.